Eric, I'm sitting here at this table in the radio studio, just awed by your artwork. This is so unique and so detailed, and the materials are fascinating. You take part in, or you have a stand in, every May, I believe it is, at Western Michigan University's annual International Congress on Medieval Studies, or Medieval Congress for short. What is that, and what inspired you to become a part of this?
Well, obviously, by looking at my work, you can see that it's inspired from history, or very much informed from history. Long ago, I started down this road of just playing with images from history. Earlier on, I started working with cast cement, and I didn't bring any of those with me, but you've seen pictures.
Yeah.
And they were all inspired from architecture. So the kinds of things you see carved in architecture in what we, I guess, would call the old world, but medieval Europe, much of it inspired from early medieval and high medieval art, which was largely on buildings. But then I got more and more fascinated in the early medieval period, which there were a lot of objects that we find from that period that are from Anglo-Saxon and Viking cultures.
Is this happening when you're a youth or in adult life? Or when did this capture your attention?
Yeah, that's very hard to say.
Yeah.
I think I've always been interested in it as a kid.
A history buff?
I never thought of myself that way.
Yeah.
Not until recently. But as a kid, I remember watching, like, Jacques Cousteau.
Ah.
And there was always an episode where he finds something down in the sea, some artifact.
Some
treasure. And these objects that people created were fantastic.
Yeah.
Just amazing. And we think of these people from 2,000 years ago or even further back as being, quote-unquote, more primitive than we are today.
Oh, I think we've lost some of this skill. But what you've brought in is so detailed. It's exquisite.
Thank you. Well, I think one of the things that inspires me, or I guess the word I'm looking for is the impetus for this work, is that I'm more and more aware of the fact that we live in a time that is all driven by mass production. It's very industrial, and we have no real connection to the things that are around us.
They're just stamped out on an assembly line.
And there's no human touch there. There's no one person that makes these things.
Right.
And of course, being an artist, it's all about the one person making something. I find that when I look at these objects, they may not have thought of them as art the way we think about art. But from the beginning of time, mankind has been creating things, and a person made this thing and expresses who they are.
Because some of the things you've made are practical utensils. You've got knives here. You've got a mug here. Some of it is jewelry, which maybe is just for mm-hmm. beauty. Some of it may be called musical instruments, horns.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes.
So some of these are practical items, and yet there's something in human nature, I think, that calls for beauty.
Yes. Yeah, that's what expresses our humanity, I think.
Yeah.
And so I find these things from the past that are functional objects. There are so many things we find that are just amazing. They just draw you in. They're treasures. And of course, we still have them because somebody treasured them. And that's what I hope to do with my work, is create treasures that someday somebody's going to, long after I'm gone, I hope that someday somebody will pick this up and it will inspire desire in their heart.
So what is this medieval congress? You've been a part of that a long time.
Yeah.
And what do you offer there?
Well, I'm in the exhibits hall, and there are a lot of publishers and booksellers there, but there are also artisans. And there's some pretty incredible work there. Most of it, all of it, has something to do with history. And the event itself is wonderful. I can't say enough about the event. Anybody that has any interest in history at all, I think, should be interested in it, in this kind of an event. I believe that anybody that is a Kalamazoo County resident can register online and attend for free. And attendance means going to lectures by professors of medieval history, literature, language.
So it can
religion.
Be a scholarly event.
It's definitely an academic conference. It's a scholarly event. And it's just inspiring. The people are amazing. They're all very happy to share their ideas.
Yeah.
Of course, being teachers, they're wonderful people to speak to. That's one of the reasons I love doing this event. My work is well received there. And of course,
sure.
I'm selling
yeah.
my work there.
Yeah.
So there's that motive. But the yeah. people are amazing. Everybody that walks through and talks to me, I learn something from them.
And likewise, I'm sure. Talk to us about the process on some of these, and I'm sure it differs quite a bit on what you're working on. I'm fascinated with the array of materials, many of which are natural materials. Or we can maybe start by talking about the horns that you use.
Mm-hmm. What we have here in the studio are two horns that are drinking horns. And of course, the function being used to drink something. Often it was mead or ale, or there's a long history of the use of drinking horns. And these are made from cow horns. I've sanded and polished them. I seal the inside with a modern material. It's a food-safe epoxy. Traditionally, they would have seasoned them or sealed them with a wax of some kind.
Mm, okay.
And then I've decorated them with a variety of materials. I have one here that has cast bronze on the end, so that's using a lost wax cast process. And then the band around the top is forged out to fit the horn, because, of course, every horn is different.
Right.
And then the designs you see are acid etched. So I have to lay down a resist by hand in the forms that I want, and then the design is etched in. And I use a very deep etch, so I get a three-dimensional effect with it. And this one in particular is beautiful because it has also garnets set into it.
And the patterns, the colors are fascinating me. I live out in the country. I see cows every day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've never looked at their horns. I think I'll be looking at their horns differently now. With the polish and all, the patterns, the colors are
yeah.
striking.
Yeah, it's a little like polishing stones. You can walk around and look down
at
a stone.
It looks gray and ordinary.
And it looks pretty ordinary until you sand and polish it.
Yeah.
I find every material I use, whether it's wood, bronze, cow horn, deer antler, it all has its own beauty, its own character.
And you brought in this mug. The handle is deer antler.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you've used some kind of a horn.
Yep, for the body of the mug.
Yeah. And the bottom is wood. So, yeah, I love all these natural materials. Talk about the knives a little bit. I'm fascinated also that the blades are patterned.
Yeah, this is a process that's becoming more widely known today. There's a show on television called Forged in Fire that features artisans having to create a blade in 3 hours or something like that, and it's amazing. And sometimes they do what's called pattern welding. It's commonly called Damascus steel. And what it is two or more alloys of steel that have been layered up and then forge welded together into a single billet. And then it's forged out, drawn out, folded, and manipulated, kind of like phyllo dough.
Yeah.
And then the pattern, the resulting pattern in the metal is due to the folding of the metal.
And even the top of the blade, it's not just the sides of the blade, but even the top of the blade has patterns on it.
Well, this piece, I've done what's called file work on the top, and that's
yeah.
simply filed in. It's a decorative addition to this blade.
Yeah.
And it's not uncommon with blades to have some kind of decoration on the spine of the blade.
And you also make some kind of musical instruments?
I do make blowing horns.
Okay.
They're also from history. You know, there's a history of blowing horns being used. Often they were signal horns used for battle or for signaling, royalty coming or something like that. They were used to communicate. Hunting horns were often used. And
call the dogs.
Yeah, huh? and they're as musical instruments, they're rather limited because they're often a very short horn and they resonate on one note, but they're a lot of fun.
Yeah, I bet.
I'd like to stress that you look at this work and it's so much fun to create these things. That's really what draws me into doing these things.
Well, yeah. It does. You wouldn't do it if it was drudgery. So talk about your studio. Is this at home that you work, or where
yeah.
do you work?
I work at home. I recently moved about 2 years ago, and I now have a pole barn studio separate from the house, and I was able to build that out. And it's a work in progress, of course, but I'm able to work with whatever material I want. As a sculptor, one of the advantages you have is you're not so media specific. I just have a desire to work in whatever medium interests me.
So how do you gather all these horns, deer antlers?
Oh, you can get them.
What are your sources? You don't just wander around in the woods?
No, I don't have time for that. I'm too busy making things. But you can get them. I run into hunters. They often have garages full of them, and they say, here, take them.
Oh, okay.
So antler, I've been lucky enough to get some really nice just white-tailed deer antler from people that I know. You can buy them online. I've gotten horns from leather supply shops. They'll sell horns.
And how did you learn some of these skills? Are you self-taught? Did you have to take classes somewhere? How do you learn all of this?
Well, it is kind of a lifelong process as an artist. You develop and explore and develop new skills. I do have a degree in fine arts. At the time that I graduated, I was a printmaker.
Ah.
So you can see that the etching process there kind of was a natural thing for me to step into.
Okay.
And I realized as a printmaker, I should have been a sculptor because I kept pushing things more and more
sense.
In three dimensions.
That direction, yeah.
I loved intaglio, which is a three-dimensional kind of a process. And yeah, a lot of it, I'm the kind of artist that likes to explore new things all the time. So
yeah.
It all adds up.
Is there a historical authenticity to this? Do you look at what was done ages ago for ideas or to replicate something?
Yes and no. I never claim that the things that I do are historically accurate.
Okay.
I'm an artist responding to history.
I see.
So while I am borrowing motifs quite often, I hope that my work has an authenticity to it. I've had a lot of people look at my work and think that it's an actual artifact, but they're not meant to be replicas of any specific thing. I'm sort of recapitulating old art forms.
Do you look at old art forms for inspiration?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Often. Yeah. Yeah, I've been trying to study it more and more, the history of these things more and more.
Yeah.
But I am not a historian. I just happen to know enough about
it. Is this your profession or is this something you do on the side?
It's about half of what I do.
Half and half?
Yeah, I do still have day jobs, as many artists do.
The printmaking area? Or?
No, I work in galleries and I do picture framing.
Ah,
so,
okay.
About half of my time I spend doing picture framing. We deal with all kinds of art doing picture framing. And what I do is kind of we specialize in conservation framing.
So, conservation framing?
Conservation framing, meaning that it's designed to preserve the art as well as present it. And so we're experts in dealing with many different kinds of artwork. And I've framed anything from, original medieval documents to, any kind of original work you can imagine.
Does this kind of a thing, some of these work in shadow boxes?
Yeah, we can frame anything. But this is about half my income right now. And I'd love it if I could make it all of
make
my
that
income.
Leap.
Yeah.
Well, it's always hard to make a living that way, but it's certainly beautiful enough.
What I like to say is artists are always starving, but we live the richest lives of anybody out there.
Because we love what we do.
Because we love what we do. And I get to make these things.
Yeah.
I mean, it's such a blessing to be able to make these things.
So how long does something, for instance, a knife blade or the whole knife, how long of a project is that for you?
Well, I tell you what, I lately I've been saying 56 years.
Well, yeah.
But because it's difficult to say because I often have several things going at the same time.
Oh, okay. So you go from project to project.
There are pieces I may have 40 hours into.
Yeah.
There are some pieces that I might have, 10 hours into.
Okay.
All of it depends on the amount of detail I'm putting into it. Sometimes I'm carving a knife handle that I might spend a whole week just carving the handle. And that's just one small part of the blade.
Okay.
Other times I do very simple pieces that have a minimal amount of carving. And I do that because, when I turn around and try to sell it, it's a lower priced item and
sure.
A little more accessible for people. But I hope that everything that I do, I hope to have my imprint on it.
So is the Medieval Congress, is that the only place where you're also involved with signature artists?
Yes.
Co-op? Where can people find you, in other words?
Well, you can find me on Signature Artists' website. I do have a website. It's called griffinstone.com.
Is that your business name, Griffinstone?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. And I had that ever since I started working with cast cement things. The website right now is informational, but I'm revamping it and rebuilding it and hope to make it a little more retail-oriented. I do several shows throughout the year. I actually do some reenactment-type shows.
Oh,
and
do tell.
I do try. Well, I just finished a show called the Nordic Fire Festival, which is a Viking festival that happens in Charlotte, Michigan. And it's kind of a reenactment celebration of all things Norse. And it's a fun show. And it's outside in the middle of the winter. So,
do you get dressed up in special?
We get up dressed up in costume and we present ourselves as Norsemen.
So you have your horns and your blades and your mugs and you show them in use, or?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah, well, not the blades so much, but the horns. Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. And what can people expect to find the Medieval Congress?
Well,
what are you showing off?
I will be showing everything there. I have walls that I set up, so I will have the architectural things, the cast cement things. And those are fun. There are a lot of decorative pieces that go on the wall.
There are gargoyles.
Yeah. I love gargoyles.
Yeah.
And gargoyle-like things. Also just purely decorative things as well. I will have the knives, the jewelry, the horns, the mugs.
Everything.
Everything okay. That I do right now.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming in, Eric, and bringing in this beautiful, all these beautiful items.
Thank you. It's been fun.